Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center about the new VA Mission Act and check in with Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network about shipping packages to deployed troops. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Memorial Day is often referred to as the unofficial start of summer. More importantly, it's our nation's day to remember the brave men and women who have sacrificed their lives to ensure freedom for all Americans. It's easy to lose sight of those sacrifices as we're firing up the backyard grill with family and friends or fishing at the lake. Nevertheless, it's important we take time to reflect on those noble service members. I'm reminded of a memorial at Gettysburg recognizing the First Minnesota's historic sacrifice during our Civil War. On it, the inscription reads, "These dead shall not have died in vain. All time is the millennium of their glory." Please join us this Memorial Day in remembering and honoring the fallen from all branches of our nation's military.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I mentioned at the open, we are honored today to have in studio Patrick Kelly, who's the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And, Director, welcome back to the station.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be with you here in studio.
Director, we usually only have 4 or 5 minutes, but we've got a couple of segments today. I want to make sure that our audience is aware that you served quite a few years in the Navy and ended up as a Navy captain.
Yeah, I retired in 2011 after almost 29 years and had a like most military members, had a great experience being in the military. I miss the Navy every day. But it was good preparation for me to do the work that I'm doing now. So I had the opportunity to work in a lot of healthcare settings, and continuing my work in the VA has really been a very rewarding work for me and a great opportunity to stay connected to veterans.
So for a lot of those years in the Navy, 28 years in the Navy, you were commanding officer of a fleet hospital. You went through a lot of different medical positions. It seems like that was all training for what you're doing today, Drew.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I miss the variety that I had in the Navy. So I've been in my current job for 6 years. I've been with the VA for 8 years, and I love the work that I do. But, you know, you get kind of accustomed to a rhythm of moving every 2 or 3 years and taking different positions, and I really enjoyed that about the Navy. I liked the work. I had a lot of variety, some good leadership opportunities overseas. Worked in the Pentagon for a few years. So I had some great work opportunities, and I do really feel like it was good preparation for the kind of work that I'm doing now.
So all those years in the Navy, you were taking care of our sailors, and now you're over at the VA, and you're taking care of all the veterans. And how many eligible patients do we have now at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
So there's a fairly, we have 103,000 veterans who actually get their care at the Minneapolis VA or one of our community-based clinics. We have a larger number of veterans who are enrolled and choose not to get their care at the Minneapolis VA now, but they've effectively enrolled in order that when it comes time for them to seek care through the VA, they've already completed their enrollment. So it's probably another 40,000 or so veterans who are enrolled, not getting their care, but there's 103,000 who are actually unique veterans who get their care with us, either in Minneapolis or at one of our clinics.
And you oversee the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and a number of outpatient clinics all over Minnesota and a couple in Wisconsin?
Yeah. So we have clinics in Minnesota, 9 of them, ranging from Ely in the Boundary Waters Canoe area to Albert Lea in the south. And then we have 4 clinics in Wisconsin, one in Superior, one in Chippewa Valley, one in Rice Lake, and one in Hayward, Wisconsin.
So that's you're scattered all over the state, and I know you have town halls at some of those outpatient clinics, and you're always looking for feedback from the veterans on what can we do better.
Yeah, so we started town halls. It's been, gosh, during the more difficult times when the VA was having some significant access issues way back in 2014. And at least quarterly, we do town halls, and we do them more frequently, virtual town halls. We're using a couple different mechanisms to reach out to more veterans. And we always combine them with the VBA so they can learn about benefits issues. National Cemeteries comes over so we can talk about, burial rights and other benefits through the NCA. We like to hear from veterans because that really informs us on the things that are important to veterans where they live. And so the issues in the metro area may be different than the issues in Hayward, Wisconsin, and we need to know what they are and need to hear directly from the veterans on their issues.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, since 9/11, 2001, We've had a lot of new veterans. A lot of people have served in the military. They've gone all over the world. We had an influx, I think, of veterans into the VA healthcare system. I don't know that that 5, 6, 7 years, maybe even 10 years ago, that the VA was ready for that influx of all these new patients. But have we caught up today?
Yeah, so we certainly are much more stable than we were. And so, you know, still with us, Vietnam veterans are the most frequent users of our healthcare system. But OEF, OIF veterans, progressively more and more are signed up for VA healthcare. You know, those are our two largest user groups. And in Minneapolis, we've had a little over 100,000 veterans for several years. The state of Minnesota is losing veterans, sort of overall, veteran population overall. We have maintained our number of users. But, you know, a lot of veterans, in addition to there being fewer veterans, more and more veterans, veteran population is moving to San Diego or Phoenix or Orlando. You know,
Go somewhere warm in the winter.
Places like that, yeah.
Director, one of the other things that's changed is over the last decade or maybe 15 years, more and more women have enlisted in the military, and I know you've improved and expanded your women's clinic out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. It's got to be one of the state-of-the-art women's clinics in the country now.
We have some really committed, high-quality providers who are working in our women's health clinic. We are scheduled to build a brand new building specifically for women veterans, which will, again, sometimes women veterans feel, you know, that there's not sort of sufficient attention or recognition or acknowledgement of their services as women veterans. That's changing, of course, and we see more and more women veterans, but it's also on us to expand our services for women veterans. So, you know, mammography services, expanded gynecology services for women veterans. You know, we need to make women veterans feel comfortable getting care in what has largely been a male-dominated healthcare system, because almost all of our patients, even still, 103,000 veterans, you know, about 92,000 of them are still male veterans. And so
that could be a little intimidating for the women veterans, but I know that you've got volunteers, women that will meet the women veteran at the door and escort them to the clinic and make sure they're as comfortable as they can be.
Right. And the other thing is that all of our community-based clinics, we have providers who are either trained in women's health issues or they've done some sort of a residency on women veterans, so that when they show up and our women veterans need to feel comfortable wherever getting that health care. And they can choose either a female provider or a provider that's had some special training in women's health issues. So we're mindful of that, and it's something we always need to continue to work on.
Director, in the next segment, I want to focus on the VA Mission Act. But before we do that, you've got a couple of critical things out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And one is you've got an amazing number of veterans out there that help with the operation. I don't know what you'd do without them.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk about them, because we have 1,500 volunteers. 150 of them are Red Vest volunteers. When our veterans walk in the door, they'll see a whole army of Red Vest volunteers. Their only job is to help veterans once they come in, get them to their appointments, serve as escorts, provide information for them about where they can get services and how we can help them. But yeah, we have 4,000 staff, but we have 1,500 volunteers. And, you know, between that group, we feel pretty well prepared to take care of veterans.
And, sir, one of the other challenges with the influx of new veterans over the last decade is keeping up with your employees. Do you have enough doctors? You're always looking for doctors and nurses, I think.
Thanks for the plug, Tom. We are always looking for doctors and nurses, and that's more acute in rural areas. So if you're a nurse or if you're a doctor, you're one of listeners to Tom's shows, the VA is always – we are always hiring doctors and nurses. And so if you have an interest, check us out. We have a good quality staff, but with turnover and working in rural areas, there's always opportunities to serve in the VA.
So the outpatient clinics, you need help there too.
Always.
All right. So let's help the director get plenty of doctors and nurses and staff so that he can take good care of all of our veterans all over Minnesota and part of Wisconsin. Sir, when we come back, we're going to talk about a new act, the VA Mission Act, which I understand was passed recently and it goes into effect in June. And so we'll educate our listeners on what that is. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And on this segment, we wanted to get into what's called the VA Mission Act of 2018. And on June 6th, the Mission Act will enable VA to consolidate the department's community care efforts into a single simple-to-use program that will empower veterans with the ability to choose the health care providers they trust. And, Director, this is a little bit of a change from current activities. Can you tell us what the system was and how it's going to change?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So the main component does have to do with community care of the Mission Act. And so our a couple of objectives. We want to grow our programs in the main hospitals in order that veterans continue to get their care with us. That's what we really want to do. But sometimes, you know, we don't have enough services or access is not available. So we want to make it easy for veterans to get their care in the community. The Veterans Choice Program, the old program, was a federal program started in 2014 at a time when the VA was having some pretty significant access issues. And the Mission Act, which is the law that you've nicely referenced and talked about, establishes a new program, which is a single payer program. We used to have seven programs where we'd buy community care. And so what it's going to look like for providers and for us and for veterans, it's intended to really kind of simplify that whole process of getting care in the community. Veterans access is being expanded. You know, the aperture has opened for opportunities to get care in the community. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, but it also includes other programs. Like, it includes an urgent care benefit. It includes caregiver program for another generation of veterans. So it's a pretty expansive new law. Takes effect the 6th of June, as you pointed out.
So this isn't really going to change how you deliver care. You still want to deliver care through your outpatient clinics and the VA hospital. You're still going to have the DAV vans bringing patients in for their care here. But if they live out in an area where it takes too long or they just can't get to the hospital for some reason, this is going to be an alternative to get local care closer to home.
Right. And so care is still going to need to be authorized through the VA. So veterans can't just go to a community provider and get care and bill the VA. So we are working with veterans in all those areas. But as you pointed out, there are some areas where it's just not convenient to come to Minneapolis. It is just not convenient even to go to your community-based clinic, or the services aren't there in those community-based clinics. There are some new standards, some new access standards under the new law. And so the old standards used to be 30 days to get an appointment or 40 miles from a VA site of care. The new rules have to do with a 20-day standard, so it's reduced the wait time in order for veterans to gain access, if they choose, to community care. And the new standard is 30 minutes drive time. Not hours or not distance, but 30 minutes drive time for primary care and mental health and 60 minutes drive time for specialty care. So that's going to open up the opportunity, because in our state, half of our veterans live outside of 60 miles from Minneapolis, where they would normally get their specialty care. So again, there are potentially greater opportunities. We still want veterans to get their care through the VA, and most veterans historically have chosen to do that. But in those circumstances where it's not convenient or otherwise available to them, we're going to facilitate that care in the community.
And we probably got some veterans that can't withstand a 2 or 3 hour drive or even an hour drive. And if they can get care closer to home, then they can apply to you to get permission to use local providers.
Absolutely. So when they see their doctor and if it's a hardship, the distance is too great, they simply get a consult, and we will then arrange that. Another part of the new law is that under the old law, we had a third-party administrator who administered that upfront piece of authorizations, the scheduling appointments. We are now doing that internally in the VA. So I think that's going to be better. It's going to be improved. It's going to be veterans connecting directly with the VA and not an external third party who didn't do as good a job as we're going to do when we take it back into the VA internally.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about the Mission Care Act of 2018 on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, does this act cause any changes for urgent care or emergency room visits?
Yeah, very much so. So under the new act, veterans are authorized to use urgent care in their communities without pre-authorization. So that is the one exception, where and along with emergency care. So a simple example is if a veteran has an earache, and it's not something that really rates their having to go into an emergency room or come to a VA emergency room, they can go to one of our contracted urgent care centers. And I'm going to use an example. This is not the case yet, but it likely to be the case that we will contract with a company like CVS or Walgreens or Walmart. national chains where veterans can go in and get urgent care visits. And they would pay the same copays as they would pay as if they got care in the VA. So if you're priority group 1 through 6, there are no copays. You get three of your visits are without copay. Once you get into your 4th and 5th and more visits in the course of a year, there's a $30 copay. But this is going to make it much more convenient for non-emergent care to get care in your local community at a place where you simply walk in and get the care.
So I want to repeat, those partnerships are not in place yet. But once they are in place, then you'll let the veterans who are authorized to get care know that. And from what I'm hearing, I used to hear that, you know, if I'm out fishing up north somewhere and I need to go to an emergency room, I can go there even though I get my care at the VA. But it might take a while for the VA to step up and pay that bill, and that was a big hassle for our veterans.
So veterans, I always advise this. If you have an emergency, go to an emergency room. There are certain rules that will facilitate the payment of that bill. So you need to let us know within 72 hours of going to the emergency room. You need to, you need to stay in touch with us with respect to any claims that you may be getting or any bills that you may be getting from those providers. And again, there are some rules with respect to who's eligible for care and the type of care that you're eligible for. And we will facilitate that with veterans. But I always advise, don't pass emergency rooms. Don't try to get to a VA. If you have an emergency, go to an emergency room, get the care. We'll help sort out the bills after that.
And somewhere on the way in the door, just tell them, I go to the VA for my health care, but I've got a problem. I need some help.
Yeah.
You've done what you need to do.
Yeah. And so notify us within 72 hours, and then we will take it from there.
So any guess on how long it might take to form those partnerships with some of these groups you mentioned?
Well, that's a great question. And we are hopeful that by the 6th of June, that will happen. If it doesn't happen, we will let veterans know which urgent care centers are available for them. But if you're a veteran, you know, it's much easier if we identify national chains, because there's CVSs everywhere, there's Walgreens everywhere, there's Walmarts everywhere. So I'm not the policymaker on this, but I hope that we identify and select those national chains so that veterans will be very clear about where they can go and where they can seek their urgent care.
That's coming up quick, sir, so I'll be interested to see what that
right.
does. Does the Mission Act change the way that you recruit doctors?
Well, it gives us some additional authorities. And so for those of you who served in the military, you might know that the military has a uniformed services university. Well, the VA is not standing up a medical school, but we are going to be much more deeply involved in paying for medical students and picking up the bills when they go to medical school in return for service in the VA. So a couple different programs for that. One is we would have the opportunity to pay for medical school in advance. And secondly, for those veterans or those medical doctors who've already gone through medical school, we can pay up to $200,000 in an education debt reduction when they sign on with the VA. That's a pretty significant incentive for in some specialties. So primary care doctors, if primary care doctors sign on with the VA, we have the ability to pay for up to $200,000 of their education it's already a debt that they owe. So we anticipate that authority giving us much greater opportunity to bring in more doctors into our system.
Well, that's going to further enhance your partnership with the University of Minnesota, I would guess.
By all means, yeah. We have a great relationship, but the more doctors we can get for not only for the metro area, but in some of our rural areas, that's going to really enhance care for veterans.
Director, we just got a couple of minutes left. I know that Secretary Wilkie is working on a new resiliency program, I think he calls it, in connection with preventing veteran suicide.
Yeah, suicide prevention, a very difficult problem for the VA and regrettable that 20 veterans a day still take their lives. So Secretary Wilkie has said that suicide prevention is the number one clinical priority for all of us. So we have, in addition to having hired several new staff members to do outreach, to be in the community, to identify veterans at risk, we have taken what is being referred to as a public health approach. And so what it is, we're trying to partner with anybody we can think of, churches, police forces, service organizations, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program sponsors, so that we can be out there and they can help us to identify which veterans may have a need that's going unmet. And so it's a broader approach than just trying to take care of the veterans who come to our hospital, because too many of them don't come to our hospital. And so we need to sort of broaden that and be able to reach those veterans who are in the community, have a need, and work with community partners to help us identify who they are.
And for our listeners out there, if keep an eye on your veteran. If you see a change, if you see they're depressed, if you see there's a problem, call the Minneapolis VA, call your outpatient clinic. The VA knows how to help.
Yeah, and people shouldn't be I know it's difficult to engage people when they're having troubles, but you're not going to make it worse for someone if you talk to them about, you know, how you can help them if they have a need. That's not going to cause people to do harm to themselves. What's going to cause greater harm is if it goes unaddressed. And so we train our staff and we train those others that I recently referenced to try to engage that veteran, see how you can help them, see what they need.
Better to ask the question now than to say, I wish I would have later.
Absolutely correct. Yeah.
Director, just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I want to thank you for having us on the show again. We have a long, good relationship with you, Tom, and your radio station. And at least once a month, we have someone here, and you're helping us to get the word out to all your listeners, which I know has grown to be a very large group, 300,000 or so. So thanks for the opportunity. I hope to continue this very good relationship with you and your radio station, and very much appreciate your help.
My pleasure, sir, and we're looking forward to doing a show from the Flag Atrium out at the Medical Center later this year. We have to get that on the plan. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to show you everything you need to know about shipping packages to our deployed troops. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk with Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network all about shipping packages to deployed troops. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Memorial Day is a time to honor the memory and service of all of our military members who have given their lives in service of this country. No greater sacrifice could ever be asked of an individual. The service of these veterans has impacted the lives of every single citizen of this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that I salute my fallen comrades. Across the generations and across the centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty, and many have paid the ultimate price. We can't even begin to contemplate the world today had men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history. It is never over. Missions may end, but legacies left and the pain of their absence endures. This Memorial Day, let us remember, all gave some and some gave all.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We have with us in the studio today Chuck Haas, who's been here many times. Chuck, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be back with you.
For our listeners who don't know, Chuck used to own a wealth management business, and he sold that some time ago, and he's still on the city council in Hugo, correct?
Yes, 20 years now.
And you've been involved, this thing has evolved over years, I'm sure, but you've been involved in helping our military and our military families and saluting our troops when they come home, and things probably have gotten out of hand, but we're going to find out in a minute. But one of the most exciting things I think that you have done is that when troops come back from deployments, and we're talking about our Minnesota Air and Army National Guard troops, you provide a little treat for them because they usually miss their hunting season.
Yes, they do. And a friend of mine, Mike Pleen, and I from Stillwater were hunting or had plans to go hunting, and it rained on us. And we thought, well, that's terrible. But then we realized there's soldiers out there. They're missing an entire hunting season. We got to do something about it. So back in 2010, we had our first Welcome Home the Troops pheasant hunt when the division headquarters came back from Basra, Iraq. And since then, we have welcomed home every Minnesota National Guard unit from overseas deployment.
And you do this out at Wild Wings of Oneka?
Wild Wings. We couldn't do it without the help of Jeff and Sue Hughes and their staff and their guides and all the members of the club who are the Patriot sportsmen that financially kick in to make it possible.
And they get to go out in the fields with a guide and a dog, and you plant the pheasants out there, and they hunt, and they also have and then after that, they go to a wild game feed, and then they get to go shoot some trap, right?
Sporting clays. They'll shoot 50 rounds of sporting clays. They'll have some fun. They'll make noise and break things. That's always fun. And
soldiers are good at that.
And they'll have a guided pheasant hunt. They'll have that wild game dinner. And going home, they take a package of cleaned frozen birds for the table.
Yeah, they don't even have to deal with the ones that they shot. I've been out there with my son who was in the Navy, and we had a ball. A good afternoon. And you've done that how many times now, Chuck?
We've done 22 hunts. Over 2,000 soldiers, sailors, and airmen have been welcomed home in this uniquely Minnesota way.
And that takes a lot of volunteers and a lot of sponsors and a lot of dollars.
Yes, it does. I think we've raised over $400,000 to make it happen.
And we do have some returning Red Bulls coming home in a couple of months.
Yeah, we're getting squared away to have another Welcome Home Troop event for them in December of this year.
All right. Well, that's a great thing, and I hope you can continue doing that for years to come. But I want to talk about something that happened last night. Burger Night.
Burger Night at the Hugo American Legion.
Tell me about it.
It started back in 2011. The Hugo Legion came to us and said, hey, you want to have a fundraiser? We let organizations into our kitchen and you can sell burgers. And our first Burger Night back in 2011, we had 40 people come and have a burger. And since then, we've served burgers every fourth Wednesday all these years. And last night, we had the St. John's Men's Club.
That was your corporate sponsor.
Was our sponsor. And they served 151 burger meals. We had military families show up. They eat free if they have a soldier service member deployed. We had some soldiers and their families show up who just got back from deployment. And, of course, we have lots of veterans that show up on a regular basis and just have a good time eating a burger and having fun.
You even had some generals out there cooking burgers and delivering burgers quite a who's who list.
It's kind of fun to have a general taking orders instead of giving them.
Chuck, leave it to you. Now, I get the reports from you all the time, so I've got the morning report afterwards from yesterday.
Yes.
You served the burgers, and afterwards you have a little meeting. And the first thing you did was provide a couple $1,000 in financial support to the Stillwater Youth Service Bureau.
Yes, they're working with family programs of the Minnesota National Guard to help families of deployed service members cope with the stress of deployment.
And then you reported on some thank you notes you got from care packages you've sent out. And we're going to talk about those care packages in a minute, but pretty nice thank you notes.
Yeah, they're always wonderful. We got one last week with a postcard. In front of the postcard said, got sand? And that was obviously from Kuwait and the soldiers that we had been sending packages to. And I got an interesting care package thank you Facebook post today. Soldier said, you know, thanks for the Girl Scout cookies and the nuts. And somehow there was a pocket knife in this care package.
That somebody left when they were cutting something open. Would that be you?
I was packing a couple of weeks ago and I couldn't find my pocket knife. I was looking everywhere for it. Well, now I know where it is.
We're speaking with Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network on Minnesota Military Radio. And Chuck, I know that there were some Girl Scouts there, and you reported that they gave you a donation of a couple boxes of cookies, but I saw the picture.
They filled the back of my pickup truck.
And those are going to be sent over to our troops, too.
Yes, they are. They love those.
So you're going to have another packing event coming up soon. And one of the things that you're always looking for is if our listeners know of a deployed troop, if they can supply you with the address, then you can send them a gift package. How important is it to get that name and address?
Well, we would love anyone to send us the APO service member's address of their service member. We'd be glad to send them a care package. If they know their service member has a special request, eye drops, wash and wipes, whatever it might be, soap, shampoo. Some of our soldiers are serving in really austere conditions. We're happy to do that.
Like something special for Sergeant Ben, who's over in Kuwait.
Sergeant Ben, yes.
You took care of him.
We did.
So the important thing for our listeners to know is that you just can't pack up a box of stuff and drop it on the doorstep of the Minnesota Army National Guard or Air National Guard. They can't accept it and they can't send it.
No, we use the United States Postal Service and we send everything through them and they send it on along to New Jersey where it gets on military aircraft from there. But it starts out with the U.S. Postal Service.
And it has to be addressed to a specific person.
Yes.
Or it's not going anywhere.
You can't just write any soldier on there. It's got to be a name.
And then, how many times have you had packing events?
Oh, we have them all the time. I get donations just a couple weeks ago from your show back when Chaplain Wynn was on in December, he gave a shout out to our Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network and our friends at 3M who provided two pallets of command hooks. And just earlier this month, 3M sent us another two packets, pallets, I mean, of command hooks. So we've
and over in the desert in those tents, you can't pound nails into stuff.
No, they love.
You can use these command hooks to hang things.
Yep.
So they come in really handy and they disappear, don't they?
They do. They're all over the Middle East from 3M.
and they disappear after that, so we have to keep sending them.
Yeah.
As long as we're sending troops, and that's important. And then you've learned over the years there's kind of a list of items that the troops like to have. If they're in the desert, they like these wipes so they can clean themselves up and get all that. It's not sand. You and I were there with serving our troops.
Yeah.
It's dust.
It's unbelievable. That gets into everything. I remember when I was there, I was at the USO and the keyboard. Everything had this dust on it except where you put your fingers, you know. But anyway, yeah, washing wipes, Swifter wipes. They love coffee. Coffee is a big item.
All right, we're going to come back and talk more about what to send and the packing and how you send it. But, Chuck, a bunch of our friends left yesterday to go to Kuwait with a group called Serving Our Troops. You and I have been on that trip. They're going to have a heck of a weekend, aren't they?
Oh, they're going to have a wonderful time. It's a great opportunity to meet the troops and serve them steaks. And I'm happy to say my daughter Nancy is there.
And they're going to serve a complete steak dinner to several thousand troops on the base over there. And at the same time, over at the River Center in St. Paul, the families are going to come in and get their steak dinner, and they're going to be hooked up so they can talk to each other.
Yeah, with the time difference, they'll be eating all at the same time.
And last time we went, a few years back, I was up on the stage, I think, all day. Chris Hockey was with us. Andrew Lee from Newstalk was with us. We did a live radio show, and of course, the guys were out there in 111 degree heat cooking these steaks for hours.
On charcoal stoves, and they were wearing welder's gloves to protect their arms.
It had to be 130 degrees over those grills, but they were all smiling.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw the soldiers come back. Some of them came back for a second steak, and it's a great big steak dinner.
Delicious steak.
So that's happening this weekend. For our great organization, Serving Our Troops, which I know you've helped many, many times.
I have. And this weekend, somewhere, either in Kuwait or in St. Paul, they're going to serve their 100,000th steak.
100,000th steak, as we had Pat Harris on a while ago. We're speaking with Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon. Chuck, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the whole process of packing and shipping packages. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. And Chuck, I promised today that we were going to talk about shipping packages to deployed troops. And there's a whole process. You have to be careful about what you put in them, how you pack them. You got to pay for it. So tell us, what do you put in it? What do you collect up? You've got some standard items. How do you go through the packing process?
Well, Tom, that's a really good question. We do have standard items, things like coffee, beef jerky, washing wipes, soaps and shampoos, cookies, snacks, nuts. Those are all constant items that the deployed service members enjoy. Sometimes we get special requests and we will take care of those. But mostly it's that stuff. And when it comes time to ship it, it costs us about $1.50 a pound. So we want to ship as much as we can in a package. We don't want a lot of air. And we want to make sure everything that we can get in that box, we can get in the box, and we pack big boxes. They're about 18 by 14 by 14, because that's the efficient size to get enough stuff in, and we can keep our postage costs down.
So you have packing parties, you bring in volunteers. After you've picked up truckloads of stuff like cookies from the Girl Scouts and maybe coffee from who knows where.
You know, it's interesting, Tom, and since we started, we actually started with an Air Force Blue Star mom got us started. She operated a program called Operation Military Pride in Hugo, and she joined our Yellow Ribbon Network and taught us how to do care packages, and we've been doing it ever since. But we've shipped 43,000 pounds of stuff.
You've learned how to do this and do it right.
Yeah.
You brought a partner in with you today. Do you want to introduce her?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Michelle Williamson from Ship Thrifty, who has helped us in a tremendous way.
Michelle, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me, Tom, and thanks for the introduction, Chuck.
Now, your business, you know something about shipping. Ship Thrifty.
Yep.
Sounds like somebody that ought to know how to ship stuff. So how have you helped, Chuck? How have you helped in this process to support our military?
Well, we were asked to create an application from our shipping tools that would make it easier to ship to military folks because families were having issues. And shortly after, we learned that there were organizations who sent care packages, so we developed a specific tool set to be able to allow them to flexibly create their packages so that they can copy things and delete things and add things in the last minute and be able to print those labels and pay for the postage up front.
So when Chuck has one of these packaging parties and they're putting all this stuff together, are you over in the corner printing labels and doing stuff and helping get it all organized?
Yeah, sometimes we do. Chuck kind of taught us how the whole process worked. We had to understand how different organizations ship stuff in order to be able to create tools that would work for everybody. And so we do go and help Chuck. We help some other organizations throughout the Twin Cities and actually on a national basis. But Chuck's one of our favorite people to go and visit.
Now, did you actually create another part of your business out of doing this?
Yeah, we did. This also came a lot from Chuck sharing the notes that came back. We were so pulled into the whole experience from the impact that it had that we decided that we were going to focus solely on military shipping and help folks be able to do this easier. So we go and help organizations and we teach people how to do it. And, you know, there's different ways that people pack. Chuck uses that 18 by 14 by 14 box. Some people do smaller boxes and families often do smaller boxes. And just by changing a box, you can change the cost of your entire shipment.
So you've created a new site, shiptomilitary.com.
Yeah, that is specific for military resources, because what started happening was when we were doing the research to be able to put these pieces together on our platform, all these questions came up, like how many days does it take to get there? What are the restricted items for certain zip codes? And we couldn't keep track of it. So if we couldn't keep track of it, how could anybody else doing shipping keep track of it?
So you've created a way to assist families or organizations or even the Hugo Yellow Ribbon.
Absolutely.
To do this more efficiently and to do it better.
Yeah, exactly. It's been an awesome experience, too. We've worked with some of the most amazing people we've ever encountered in our careers.
So, Chuck, you've got a new partner. You've enlisted a lot of partners over the years.
Yeah, she's and her husband, Rob, have been great partners, and their system saves us so much time and so much energy and money.
So you've gotten into shipthrifty.com and shiptomilitary.com. They're your partners. You've got partners at 3M that gives you the command hooks. You've got the Girl Scouts that bring you one or two boxes of cookies or more to fill up the back of a pick-em-up truck.
And I've got a guardian angel out there that gets me coffee.
Coffee? We found some coffee for the Red Bulls, didn't we?
Yeah, you did a great job, beautiful job.
And we've got another crew going out this fall because we got the 34th ECAB going out, about 700 more soldiers going right back over there when we get our Red Bull soldiers back. So while you're hunting the Red Bull soldiers, we better find some more coffee for those other soldiers that just left.
That's a good idea, Tom.
And then you can figure out how to send it there. Now, there's a couple other issues here. We only got about 2 minutes left. Volunteers. You couldn't do it without your volunteers.
No, this is a volunteer organization. If you'd like to volunteer and help, just send me an email, charles.haas27@gmail.com, and I'll put you on my distribution list, and you'll find out about events and programs and how you can help.
And if they go to Facebook, is it under Hugo Yellow Ribbon?
Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Hugo, Minnesota.
Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Hugo.
Send me Facebook messages. We'll get back to them.
And you get items donated. By the way, what's the most requested item?
Coffee.
They're over there. They're working long hours. They want to, like all the rest of us, cup of coffee in the morning, get some started.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that the dining facility might be a half a mile away.
Well, that's just a short walk.
But they'd like it in their offices, so the coffee really helps.
So in between breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
And the workout, because they're always working out every day.
Ruck runs.
Ruck runs. Then the other part of the shipping is, it's expensive. You need cash to be able to pay for the postal service.
Yeah, we've shipped over 40-some thousand pounds. That's almost $70,000 of postage. If anybody would like to help with that, they can send a check to the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network at the Hugo City Hall, 14669 Fitzgerald Avenue North, Hugo 55038.
Chuck is a member of the Hugo City Council, and they allow him to get some shipments there and donated items.
Yeah, donated items, donated City Hall. The staff will take the donated items any day from 8 to 4:30.
Michelle, I want to thank you for joining us today in the studio, and I want to thank you for taking care of Chuck and all his volunteers. Make sure they keep doing it right, will you?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Chuck, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts? What do you want to tell our listeners? You're looking for donated items. You're looking for volunteers. You're looking for money.
And if you have a soldier, sailor, airman, marine that's out deployed, send us their APO. We'll be happy to send them some love and some care and some treats.
Doesn't matter where they're deployed, you can find a way to get it to them. You just need the address or the APO.
That's correct.
And, of course, you'll love it when you get those thank you notes back, and you can see those on your Facebook page as well.
Yeah, we send that out on Facebook and to our email distribution list.
Chuck, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Tom.
You've still got people being deployed and for the foreseeable future, so you can't retire from this retirement job.
We'll be there for them.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon on Minnesota Military Radio. We have two mentions today. First, the 6th Annual Memorial Day MRF Challenge has a new home this year in Wayzata. Athletes will complete the MRF workout, which includes a one-mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, followed by another one-mile run. It's named after Navy SEAL Lieutenant Michael Murphy, who was killed while serving in Afghanistan in 2004. And last Memorial Day, flags for Fort Snelling lost a staggering 60,000 flags to weather and mishandling. But they have an exciting new sustainable retractable flag staff designed to cut annual flag loss to virtually zero. Learn more and be part of the solution by donating at flagsforfortsnelling.com or call 763-296-FLAG. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Chuck Haas and Michelle Williamson, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please take a moment to remember all who have given their lives in service to our country at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Memorial Day for a moment of remembrance. And please join us for our 9th Annual Memorial Day special from 6 to 9 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, via iHeartRadio Online. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.